Let me open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here on this wet and miserable day. Thank you for bringing us here to listen to the words of life. And we pray you would help clear our minds of all of our preoccupations, help us to listen to a message about the times to come, and help us to be excited by that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew 24, starting in verse 36 on page 830. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you, David. May I add my welcome to David, and well done for making it. It's such bad weather. Last week, we learnt that Jesus is coming soon. The temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and we are living in the last days of history. The next big event in God's calendar is the return of Jesus. Now, we all have big events in our own calendars. For some of us, we may have professional exams that we are preparing hard for right now. Others of us may have important client meetings later on in the week, and you'll be spending the next few days preparing for them. Or we might be looking forward to a big birthday or an exciting holiday, or perhaps even your retirement. Well, Jesus' return is a much bigger event than any of the above. As we learnt last week from Phil's talk, it will be an earth-shattering, seismic event. The world as we know it will end. Those who belong to Jesus will be gathered up to be with him forever, and those who do not belong to him will face his judgment. Whether you are a believer or not, Jesus' return will have massive implications for you and for me. And so how can we prepare for Jesus' return? That is the big question of today's passage. And it is a hugely important question for all of us. It really, really matters that we are prepared for Jesus' second coming, because it is a matter of eternal life and death. And my longing is that we will be ready for his return. My prayer is that you will listen attentively to what Jesus has to say about it. Today's passage is the first of three on how we should live in light of Jesus' second coming. And so please do come back the next 2 weeks to listen to parts 2 and 3. But for today, our first point is this. Jesus' return will be unexpected, so stay awake. Jesus' return will be unexpected, so stay awake. You see the outline on the back of the notice sheets. Jesus starts by saying that no one knows the day when he will be coming back, except the Father only. Verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. It is striking that not even Jesus himself knows when he will be coming back. The return date of Jesus is a super confidential top secret. Now imagine the date of Jesus' return was inside this envelope. X year, X month, X day. Well, Jesus is saying that only the Father knows what is inside this envelope. No one else knows, not even the Son himself knows. Jesus' return will be a surprise. Now, do you remember the story of Noah? Raise of hands to see. Yes. Does everyone know the story of Noah? Great, great. I love a bit of audience participation. Jesus uses the story of Noah to reinforce the point that his return will be unexpected. Verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware, until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now before the flood came, people were living their lives as normal. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They had no idea that the world was about to be deluged. They didn't realize that they would soon be destroyed. The flood came as a huge shock, and it was too late to do anything about it. And so it will be when Jesus comes back. The private banks will be wining and dining their clients at Sushi Samba. The law firms will be hosting their Christmas parties at the Ned. The newly opened Wolseley City branch will be packed. Wetherspoons will be full. McDonald's, Burger King, and Five Guys will be thriving. Pret and Itsu will be opening new stores. And delivery drivers will be zooming here, there, and everywhere, delivering meals to hungry customers who can't be bothered to cook. Maybe that's you. Did you know that every year almost 280,000 weddings take place in the UK? One of them happened here in this building only a couple of months ago. And in America, it's just a much bigger scale, there were around 2 million weddings last year. That's over 5,000 weddings per day. The fact is, weddings happen all the time. And all of us will probably attend at least several weddings in our lifetimes. My flatmate is getting married soon, and maybe you know someone yourself who's getting married soon as well. Well, weddings are just a normal part of life for most of us. But then all of a sudden, Jesus will come back. It will be completely unexpected. People will just be eating M&S sandwiches like we are right now. They'll be drinking beer with their colleagues in the pub. The proud father will be walking his daughter down the aisle. The groom will be putting on the wedding ring on the bride's finger. The best man will be making fun of the groom in his speech at the wedding reception. Life would just be carrying on as normal when suddenly and unexpectedly Jesus will return. And can you just imagine how shocked people will be? Think of your colleague's reaction, your neighbor's response. People will be utterly astounded. They'll be totally caught off guard. This would be the appropriate emoji to describe people's shock. So what? If Jesus is coming back at an hour that we do not expect, What does that mean for us? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 42, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Stay awake. Jesus then tells the story of the house that was broken into at night. Verse 43, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." So the point is, stay awake, because you do not know when Jesus will be coming back. Verse 44 makes the same point. "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "is coming at an hour you do not expect." And so the disciples of Jesus need to be fully aware that Jesus could come back at any moment. They need to be ready for his return. They must not be caught off guard like everyone else. But you might be asking, okay, we need to stay awake, but what does it mean to stay awake? What does it look like? Well, helpfully, Jesus tells us in our next section. So that's point two. Staying awake means being a faithful servant. In verses 45 to 51, Jesus uses a parable to explain what it means to stay awake. In the story, you have a master and a servant. How many people here have watched Downton Abbey? Oh, not that many. It's fine. All you need to know is that Lord Grantham is the master of the house and Carson is the butler. Okay? Lord Grantham, Carson. And so I'm going to call the master in this story Lord Grantham and the servant Carson. And Lord Grantham is about to go away for a while, and so he orders Carson to look after the other servants in the house. And Carson now has two choices. He can either be a faithful servant, or he could be a wicked one. If he chooses to be a faithful servant, he will look after the other servants, as he's been instructed to do. He will give them food at the proper time. He will ask them how they're doing, and he will help them out if necessary. He will treat them as Lord Grantham would like them to be treated. And so when Lord Grantham comes back from being away, he will find Carson fulfilling his duties. And of course, he'll be pleased. He will hand over even more responsibilities to Carson. And in fact, as a reward for Carson's faithfulness, he will promote Carson to manager of the whole of Downton Abbey. Verse 46, Jesus says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." Big reward. But on the other hand, Carson could also choose to be a wicked servant. He could think to himself, right, Lord Grantham is going to be away for a while, so why don't I do as I please? Why don't I act as if I'm the boss? And then he starts beating up the other servants to show them who's boss. He doesn't give them food, but he eats all the food himself. And then he comes up with a cunning plan. He invites all his friends to Downton Abbey, and he lays on a feast for them. He takes the best wine from Lord Grantham's wine cellar, and he gets drunk with his friends. And so when Lord Grantham comes back, what is he going to do? Verse 50. "The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are hard-hitting words, aren't they? Lord Grantham will cut down Carson and cast him into hell. Carson will be punished for being a wicked servant. He will suffer the consequences of mistreating his fellow servants and neglecting his duties. Okay, so how does this help us to understand what it means to stay awake? Well, staying awake means being a faithful servant. If Jesus is our master, we should do the work that he has given us to do. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus commands his disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. I've included it in the handouts. So Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of my Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so making disciples is the work that we should be getting on with. This is the work that Jesus' 12 disciples engaged in. Judas was obviously replaced by Matthias. It is the same work that subsequent generations of disciples of Jesus have been involved in. And it is because of their faithful service that there are now hundreds of millions of Jesus followers around the world, including many of us here. One of my heroes is Billy Graham. Have people heard of him? Yeah, great. He grew up on a farm in North Carolina. God converted him and gifted him to the church as an evangelist. Billy then faithfully obeyed the Great Commission and preached the gospel all over the world for many decades. Millions of people heard the good news of Jesus Christ through him, including my own father. Billy also led a life of integrity and godliness. He died aged 99 a few years ago, and I remember visiting his home, which is now a museum, shortly after his death, and I was deeply inspired by his lifelong faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. I trust that when Jesus comes back, Billy will be rewarded generously for his faithfulness. Now, I understand we may not all have the same high-profile ministry as Billy, but we too have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to make disciples of all nations. And so let's be faithful in obeying what the Lord has commanded us to do in our own context. Now, some of us may choose to focus particularly on making disciples in the workplace. I know many of us are involved in our workplace Christian groups and their Bible studies and prayer meetings that you guys are very involved with, and that's brilliant. Others of us may have significant responsibilities in our local churches. We're in, you know, church wardens and, you know, Bible study leaders, doing one-to-one ministry. That's great as well. And those of us with children will be involved in making disciples at home, seeking to raise up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that's fantastic. One or two of us may even be thinking of becoming missionaries to far-flung places, as to preach Christ to those who have never heard of him before. Fantastic. Whatever our context, let's seek to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, so that when he comes back, he will say to us, "Blessed are you, faithful servant." On the negative side, though, staying awake also means not being a wicked servant. It means not abusing our brothers and sisters. It means not neglecting our duty as disciple-making disciples. In Jesus' day, the scribes and Pharisees were the wicked servants. Jesus pronounces 7 woes on them in Matthew chapter 23. These scribes and Pharisees had the appearance of godliness, but their hearts and their actions were evil. It is no coincidence that Jesus uses the word hypocrites in verse 51 of our passage today. This is what he'd called the scribes and Pharisees back in chapter 23. They will be cut down and sent to hell when Jesus returns. And sadly, the church has also had its fair share of wicked servants. At first, they may have been given the impression that they were faithful servants. But over the course of time, they were exposed as wicked servants. Rabbi Zacharias is a recent example of this. Similar to Billy Graham, Zacharias was a high-profile, globe-trotting defender of the Christian faith. But in contrast to Billy, after his death, Zacharias was found to have abused hundreds of women, many of whom were Christians. He has been described by one of his former employees as one of his generation's greatest frauds, a sexual predator, and a uniquely charismatic manipulator. Zacharias may have escaped justice in his life, but he will not escape justice when Jesus returns. Now, at this point, I'd like to stress that salvation is not by works. The Bible is clear that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are made right with God. If you are not yet a Christian, simply put your trust in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No amount of good works will save you. You cannot earn your way into heaven by doing lots of Christian ministry. Please do chat to me at the end of the meeting if you'd like to talk more about this. Now, if you are already a follower of Jesus, this passage shows us that the Lord expects us to be faithful servants as we await his return. Jesus could come back at any time. It will be out of the blue. People will be shocked when he comes back. But in the meantime, as we wait for him, we should be getting on with the work of making disciples. And he promises to reward us generously. We will be put in charge of all his possessions, the parable says. And so let's stay awake by being like the faithful servant and not the wicked servant. Be like Billy Graham, not like Rabbi Zacharias. Verse 46 again. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for teaching us and reminding us that Jesus will come back at an unexpected hour. Please help us to stay awake by being faithful servants of the Lord. Help us to engage in the work of making disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name, amen.